You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Doug Gefeller.
Good afternoon, and welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and today we're going to be talking about a number of things: coaching notes, technology, and hey, the dog days of summer. Well, before we start, let me just remind you that my business partner, Rick Franzi, and I co-host the Critical Mass radio shows, all four of which air here on octalkradio.net. You can listen to them live Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m., and also Thursday at 3 p.m. Well, we are talk radio, so let me give you our call-in numbers. If you want to jump in the conversation, express an opinion, or disagree with my opinions, hey, welcome to it. So those numbers are 949-713-6443 and 949-713-6447. Well, we've been coaching executives and business owners for 18 years under the banner of the Coaching Perspective, which is a part of the Critical Mass for Business Service Group. We're working to help create more effective teams, which is our primary focus, and we work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. In all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual members. We also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills, and communication workshops. I'm the lead partner for our coaching practice, a master certified coach, past president of the Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation, and my coach training was done through CTI, the Coaches Training Institute. So much for the background. Well, let's talk a little bit about notes, not music notes, but coaching notes. You know, it's interesting to me that many coaches do not take notes. And it seems to me that part of the distinction is those coaches that coach people face-to-face feel it a little more awkward and maybe don't do as much note-taking as those coaches who have the luxury of coaching over the phone, in which case they're probably sitting in front of their computer and are in maybe a little better position to make notes without the client feeling that, he's lost their attention. But let's talk about why you would take notes, whether you're a coach or whether you're a client. And recently, I've really changed my opinion about notes, and I'm really starting to encourage all of my clients to start taking written notes of some type. Well, one reason, obviously, for taking notes, the reason that I, as a coach, take notes when I'm coaching someone is I want to make sure I've got down the action items that that we've agreed to in today's coaching session. And, you know, this sounds very simple, but, you know, as you people who have been on both ends of those or either end of those coaching calls, you know that they're pretty emotional. They start in one direction. They take a 180-degree turn and go in the other direction. We chase ourselves down a half a dozen rabbit trails to get back to where we really want to be, all of which goes to say that sometimes the action items get lost in the dialogue, that sometimes there may be a great action item at the beginning of the conversation, the coaching conversation, but then that topic changes and we move on to another topic that maybe is more critical, more urgent for the client, and we develop action items for that particular topic, but we've forgotten that great action item that would really help us move forward, solve a problem, or create a better environment that we discussed at the beginning of the call or the beginning of the session. So I really like to encourage, I always take notes of the action items that my clients have agreed to take during the session. There was a time when I would send those action items out to the clients. I'd email it to them after the session. And I kind of got to the point where I debated the wisdom of that. I mean, It was nice. People said thank you. But it was an action item written in my words based on my understanding of what they had agreed to do. And we all know that, you know, when we're trying to learn something, trying to memorize something, that it's one thing to say it, but when you let that thought convey itself through your hand into a pen or a keyboard, then it sort of cements that learning. And so I've sort of moved away from sending copies of my notes to the client, and I'm now asking them, hey, you need to take some notes. You need to take some notes, and guess what? It'd be a great idea if you could send them to me afterwards so I can kind of do a reality check and see whether the notes that you thought were critical to take are the same notes that I thought was critical to take. The other reason for note-taking is to really help to identify what it was we were talking about, or maybe better yet, what it is that we are going to talk about either in this session or the next session. As when I am the coachee, when I am getting ready for a session with my coach, I know I always allow about 15 minutes of time before that session starts to sit down and pull my notes from the last session as a client that I took, review how I was doing, did I accomplish the things I said I was going to do, and then those awkward silence periods where that seems to stretch for hours but is really only 5 or 10 minutes, where I'm thinking about what is it I want to talk to my coach about today. You know, it is very common with coaches when you ask them how many of your clients come to the call with a subject prepared and ready to go, and how many of them say, well, I don't know what we should talk about today. And I think the number is well over 50% of the clients, including myself, come to the coaching call without any topic in mind, which then puts the burden on the coach to dig and dig and peel back and try to identify what is the most critical thing that you have going on in your life, Mr. or Mrs. Client, that we need to talk about today. The coach can do this, but what you're doing is, as a client, you're giving up control of that session. So we want to really work on that some more. The other thing is, during those sessions, there's lots of great ideas that come across. You know, I know myself, I keep a still an old-fashioned three-ring binder where whenever I get a new brainstorm of a new business, a new idea, a new product, a new service, I take a little form I've developed with the subject on it and when I thought about it and what I was doing at the time and who I talked to about it and who else was involved in the conversation, and I jot down what that idea was, and then I put it in that binder. And I pull out that binder, you know, occasionally, a couple times a month, and take a look through it and go, hey, I forgot about that. That thing I thought about 6 months ago that I never had time to get to or wasn't really a high priority, but today that would be just the thing I need for the situation. So you want to jot down your ideas when you're doing your coaching notes. You also want to jot down the follow-ups. What are you going to follow up with the coach on? What are you going to follow up with the client on? So that we know how those things really went. And, you know, what are observations about how you're making those notes? How did you feel during this session? Was it uplifting to you? Did it make you feel bad? Did you depressed? Did you cry? What's going on? The whole objective of the note thing is to make the meeting more effective. The other thing is, once you start to get a log of those notes, which hopefully you keep together in some manner, you can go back and observe as either the client or the coach what trends are starting to show up in things that we talk about. So I can go back over my notes of when I was the client, and I start to see that I talked about a different topic every month for the last 18 months or every session for the last 18 months. But I start to see some patterns that all of those different topics can be consolidated into two or three areas. And that maybe makes a better foundation for what we should be talking about in the coaching session. You know, there's lots of ways to take the notes. I'm experimenting with a number of electronic ways. When I'm coaching on the phone, I've always sort of recorded them into a continuous log so I can look at one sheet and see all my notes back to the beginning of my coaching with that particular client. When I'm out coaching face-to-face, I always kept a notebook, and that was a little more difficult because that notebook had notes from lots of different sessions on that page with different people, and it wasn't easy to go back and look those up. So I'm now using an iPad so that I can use the same system that I was using in my office when I'm out meeting with the client. I like the iPad because it doesn't really create that big obstacle of a screen between me and the client, which I think is a little different. One of the things that I'm working on is trying to find some software for note taking that is searchable, so that you can look back and go, well, how many times did we talk about problems with your employer? How many times did we talk about problems with Paul? How many times did we talk about, you know, and start to consolidate those things? So that's really about it with note taking. I think it's a great thing, not just for the coach, but also for the client. And you really want to work both ways. You want to keep those. You want to review those before. You want to review them after. And you want to use it to help take control of your coaching session. Well, let's take a break for a minute from one of our great sponsors.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Thank you, Smart Business. Just got my most recent edition in the mail yesterday. Lots of great stuff in it. Scanned through it quickly and earmarked about half of them, at least, that I have to go back and read in more detail. So, great periodical. If you're not on the list, go online. Check online for Smart Business Magazine and figure out why you're not getting it. Well, you know, one of the things that we offer here as part of the Critical Mass Services is books. Right now, at this time, we have two books that are published. The first that we released, my business partner Rick Franzi was the author of. It's called Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups. And it's been called The Definitive Guide to the CEO Peer Group Experience. So if you're new or curious to the CEO peer group, what is that? What does it mean? Is it the same as a mastermind group? Is it the same as a forum? You know, you get confused with these terms. Hey, I would really recommend that you pick the book up and take a look at it. It's a easy read, and it's available for sale on Amazon.com, like everything else in the world. You can find it just by typing in under author Richard Franzi, Franzi. We released our second book in March, which was really a compilation of our first year's interviews on the radio show CEO, where we do CEO interviews. And we selected 62 of what we thought were the most interesting responses to the question, what is your guiding principle? And, of course, there's the book name, The Power of CEO Guiding Principles, based on interviews with 62 of Orange County's top CEOs. It's also available for sale on Amazon in both print and Kindle format. You can find it by probably the easiest thing is the title, The Power of CEO Guiding Principles. Our third book in the series deals with coaching from the client's perspective. If you're a regular listening to this show, something you're certainly familiar with, because that's what our focus is really what's the issue with the client or the employee when we talk about our HR issues. And that's going to be available late this summer. Well, let's switch topics from coaching notes to talking about technology, which we kind of got into a little bit there. And the question from a coach's perspective about what do you prefer to do, phone coaching or one-on-one, well, most coaches will tell you that they prefer the phone coaching because, hey, I can stay in my fuzzy slippers and my shorts and coach from home. I don't waste time on the freeway, and it's a much more efficient use of my time. That's the coach's perspective. What about the client's perspective? Well, clients tend to look at it the other way. They get concerned that, well, if I'm not face-to-face with the coach, am I really getting their attention? I don't know them. How are we going to communicate? And, you know, I have kind of found that the ideal situation, which doesn't exist all the time, but the ideal is I like to meet with a client for the first session, at least, in a face-to-face. And then after that, I'm willing to do either phone coaching or face-to-face, given the geographic issues, given the issues of how frequent we're coaching, what the level we're getting into. Many times I have a number of corporate clients that because of their travel schedules, it's a combination of face-to-face and phone coaching. They don't like to miss their sessions. So normally is a face-to-face ends up being 20, 30, 40% of the time we're doing phone because they're not in the office. You know, I don't think it's impersonal. In fact, my own personal experience is that I think that generally speaking, both parties are more focused on the issue in a phone coaching session than they are in a face-to-face. And why is that? Well, in the face-to-face, the client's usually sitting in their office. They've got all the distractions of what's sitting on their desk and what's going on around them and the intercom going and people walking by the door and whatever else is going on. Whereas when they're on the phone, it's much like when you and I are on the computer. You know, we get on the computer, we're staring at that screen, and we've lost ourselves to everything else that's going on around us. Now, I will admit that sometimes I hear some noises in the background with my phone coaching clients that lead me to think that they're practicing their multitasking skills. But whatever. So again, I like to vary the media from face to face to one on one. And of course, what we're looking at now is with the ability of Skype and some of the other video conferencing technologies. Why not combine the two to phone coaching with video? Now you've got that face-to-face look. I can see your expression when I ask you something. You can see the shocked look on my face when you give me that answer. And everybody is sort of a little more comfortable with the whole situation. Kind of interesting, Facebook released their video conferencing capability just this week. And, boy, that could make it even easier to really to do that. Still a bit of a restriction in office environments where web cameras are not really the norm these days, unless it's a very intelligent office using Mac capabilities, which all have a camera built in. But, hey, we won't go down that road. What else do I use technology for, or what are some of the things that coaches are using? Well, email is a great source of technology to assist in your coaching. It's great to drop an email ahead of time, remind a client that we're meeting tomorrow at 2 o'clock, either face-to-face or on the phone. Maybe give them a little blurb that these are the three things that we said we were going to follow up on last week. I'm anxious to get an update from you. So it's a great pre-agenda, pre-warning kind of situation to help out with there. It also, for me, is a frequent follow-up tool. You know, I hate to think that, well, I can't think that my coaching calls, if it's whether it's weekly or every other week or twice a month or once a month, whether those coaching calls are meetings, that nothing important ever goes on in between those sessions that the client couldn't use some help on. So I encourage all of my clients that, hey, if something comes up and we aren't scheduled and it isn't going to wait, you know, you can call me. Good luck on that. I'm usually on the phone myself or meeting with another client. Or drop me an email, which is really my preference, because drop me an email and I can get back to you pretty darn quick from wherever I am, either with a response or with a suggestion as to when we might get together and talk about the issue. So follow-up using the email is great ability, and it also sort of gives me that 24/7 capability that I'm available. We don't have a session scheduled for another week, but if you have something come up, hey, get a hold of me with email. It really works very nice in the situation where people want you to take a look at something and going, I'm thinking of doing this and I'd like to get your input on it. And it may be that easy that it doesn't involve a whole lot of follow-up questions. It may be just, okay, I looked at it, and have you considered these three or four things, and how would you feel if it went this way or that way? And for with somebody that you've been coaching for a period of time, that works extremely well. So, again, from the coach's point of view, but also the client's point of view, take advantage. If your coach is offering you that capability, take advantage of it. Get them involved in more dialogue in between those regular sessions. You know, I mentioned earlier that I was starting to use the iPad, been working on it faithfully for about a month now, and absolutely excited about what it's able to do. But I was looking to see, okay, so I've got the iPad, and the big world is apps these days. Everybody has an app for something. And so I searched on the Apple app site for how many apps are there for coaching. It was kind of revealing. I found 269. By the way, the number was changing as I was doing this research. I found 269 apps under coaching when I did the search, of which less than 10% of them related to non-sporting coaching. You know, it made me sort of sit back and think about the fact that, you know, in our sports world, we absolutely use a coach all the time, whether it's a coach for volleyball or basketball or baseball or five-stud poker or chess or whatever. I mean, there are numerous coaching opportunities. There are numerous electronic aids in terms of apps to give you inexpensive on-demand, at your convenience, coaching assistance. But why is it that when it comes to our life or our business that we have less than 20 options to look at for coaching assistance? Is it that coaching doesn't fit into that? Well, hey, coaching doesn't require a stadium, a field. It doesn't require a special uniform. It doesn't require 10 other people to play with you, or six, whatever, five, whatever your sport is. It's a one-on-one sport. It's even easier than tennis. You know, it's even easier than bowling. You don't have to go down to the bowling alley. You don't have to spend any money. So why isn't coaching a natural candidate for apps, for electronic capability? You know, one of the great things that coaching can do, and an app can do, is provide reinforcement. There was an interesting app that I was looking at. It was called Thinking Place. I think that's what it was. And frankly, it didn't work real well on the iPad. It was originally designed for the phone, and I had some problems technically with it. But it was a great idea in the sense that you put in, it gave you a pre-selected list of questions, which then you took that question to respond and give your specific problem. And it then led you down a series of questions to get you to think in more depth about it, all in the process, making notes along the way. Great, great kind of reinforcement. I mean, we've all talked about needing reinforcement. I ran into another one. It was done by ECI, coaching app for coaches, and it basically was for new coaches. And it was not a training, but a reinforcement of what you might have learned in your training, talking about these are the kinds of things you might run into as a coach, and this is what you might do and how you might handle it. And that was very interesting, a little bit cumbersome to use in terms of its navigation, and some of the information was kind of basic. The one that excited me the most was there was one by Brian Tracy, Focal Point Coaching, that looking at the description in the App Store, man, this covered everything from soup to nuts in coaching and was going to replace and give me a supplement to all the training I'd had. And I'm looking at this and I'm reading the description and going, I'm going to lose all my clients. They're going to buy this app. In fact, I think the app was free. And they're going to take this app and they're not going to need a coach. So I downloaded it right away to see what the competition was doing. Well, the good and the bad news. The good news is I don't think it's going to put my coaching practice out of business. The bad news is the only way you can use it is if you are already working with a focal point coach, and then you and the coach can use this together. So, again, it gave me food for thought in terms of the only way you can use it is if you are already working with a focal point coach, and then you and the coach can use this together. So, again, it gave me food for thought in terms of designing apps to work together with clients. And, of course, what was missing here in all of this was nobody's doing any apps. Nobody's thinking of what can I give the client so they can take more control of the coaching session and be better prepared and know what to expect. Too bad. You know, when I was in the building business, I mean, there were primaries. If you're going to hire a land planner, here's the 25 things you should probably have ahead of time that you should be ready, that you should ask them, and your expectation of what their deliverables might be. We just expect people to jump in and take coaching on face value, and we don't give them that primer. So our next book is going to do that for them, and I'm sure that you're going to be anxious to read that. Well, let's take a break. Our producer's waving me off for another one of our excellent commercials.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy three with triple points on airfare. Buy two with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Okay, we're back again. We've just finished talking about technology, how it can benefit the client and the coach. And before we launch into our final topic for the day, I just want to again mention that this radio show and all of our radio shows are an extension of our 18-year business practice where we build CEO or executive peer groups for executives here in Orange County, California, all under the brand Renaissance Executive Forums, an international organization. Rick and I are currently leading multiple CEO peer groups, and if you'd like to learn more about our peer groups or our coaching practice, I would encourage you to check out our website, which is, of course, www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. That's criticalmassforbusiness.com. And if you'd like to know more about our peer groups, you might get a little taste of the kind of people that we're working with and the kind of issues that they're facing by listening to the Tuesday and Wednesday shows at 4 o'clock right here on octalkradio.net. Or if you want a taste of what's going on outside California, catch the 3 p.m. show, Coast to Coast, on Thursdays, all here on octalkradio.net. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. As I was making my notes for the show, I sort of labeled this section the dog days of summer. Summer's finally here, and I'm having a heck of a time concentrating on business. It's a nice warm day. Actually, it's been not too warm, but a little muggy, which is unusual for Southern California. And I find myself maybe a little less productive than I might have been under different temperature circumstances. And it got me to thinking about the seasonal changes, not that we have much of one here in California, but the seasonal change and what that really means, not only in terms of physical seasons, but the mental seasons and the physical seasons that we go through in our life. There's a lot of people that feel that those people in a colder climate are more productive because we're sitting here supposedly in the cabana to get out of the sun drinking Mai Tais or Cuba Libras and not spending much time working. But, hey, we all know that isn't true, is it? And if it was, we're not admitting it. But There is a debate about what are the best working conditions and is there a cycle? I mean, for individuals, there was a lot of talk a number of years ago about biorhythms, understanding your biorhythms, when's the best time of the day, the week, or the month, when are you the most productive? I know that in analyzing it, I'm at my most creative peak first thing in the morning. From 5:30 on, I'm really sharp. From 2 o'clock on, sorry, you got the dregs of the coffee pot here. But if I'm going to be creative, that's when I want to do my creative work. So I organize my work so that those early hours when I am at my most creative are the times that I don't do things like reading email, filing stuff away, and all of those mundane tasks that we have to do. Those I leave for the afternoon when I can still function, but I'm not that creative. The same thing goes for our life. You know, somebody said that there are basically four chapters in your life, and it's a cycle that we go through. The first chapter you can call get ready. You know, the second chapter you can call go for it. The third chapter, the doldrums. And the fourth chapter, we're cocooning. And there's been a lot of books, a lot of information written upon these chapters. You know, one of the great books that I enjoy is Buford's book, The Second Half, where he talks about the second half of life, sort of ignoring four chapters and breaking it into two, and saying that's the time when we go from success to significance, when we go from material goods to re-looking at our life and saying, what is it all about? And, you know, it would be nice if these cycles were definable so that we could say, okay, from 0 to 30 years old, I'm in the go-for-it cycle, and from 30 to 40 years old, I'm in the you know, or maybe from, I'm in the get-ready. From 30 to 40, maybe I'm in the go-for-it. Maybe 50 to 60, I'm in the doldrums, and past 60, I'm cocooning. But, you know, what studies have really shown us is that it isn't that simple, that if you were to chart this, it is multiple cycles overlapping each other, not anywhere near in sync. So that the cycles I may be going through in terms of my relationships at home may not be at all in sync with the cycles that I'm going through in terms of my relationships with my friends or in terms of my work career. So it's important to realize where you are in these cycles, and I think as a coach and as a client, it's important to realize where you are because the issues that you have are different. And when it seems like, you know, you feel this frustration, it may be that you're fighting the opposite. You may be in opposite cycles, in opposite trends, and it's a matter of separating those out to really identify what you want to do. You know, the first phase, the get ready, is all about that excitement of learning. You know, it's about training and learning and networking with people. Maybe it's about a new job. Maybe it's about a new skill that you're learning. It's all about you're not quite sure where you're going, but you're really excited about getting there. And when we coach people that are in that cycle, what are we typically coaching them on? I mean, typically what we're coaching them on is identifying what is it that you want? What is it that's important to you? What is it that's keeping you from achieving that? How do you get it? And what is it that you're willing to give up or trade off to get that? It's all about identifying in that get ready phase where you want to be, because you cannot get ready for something that you don't know is going to happen. If you tell me you're taking me to Hawaii, I'm going to get ready different than if you tell me you're taking me to Alaska. So it's very important in our coaching, and it's very important for the client to identify whether we're talking business or life or family, in what part of your life, in the many faceted life we all lead, where are you? Are you in that get ready cycle? Or are you in that second phase? Are you in that go for it phase where you've identified, you know, what you wanted, you've been working towards it, and now you've got that ideal job. You're in the ideal house, the the family's the ideal size. The kids are getting along. Your wife's getting along. You're bringing home enough money. You're not having money problems. Obviously, this relates to the past, not the present for most of us. But that's kind of the second phase where you really are working at what you really want to do and you're living the life you really want to live, you know. Of course, as you work in that phase, and what are we coaching people for in that second phase, the sort of go for it phase? We're coaching them on their goals. We're coaching them on expanding their goals, on advancement. They've had some success. I've had some success as a client, and so now I want the next challenge, and I'm trying to identify that. So the coaching revolves a lot around taking experience and being willing to take another risk, about experimenting, about feeling secure about your abilities, about identifying what your talents and strengths are and how to take advantage. It may be about providing reassurance for taking risks. And that's sort of the second phase, you know. And as you start to hit the plateau on that, you start to look around and question, which then puts you into the third phase, the doldrums, the dog days of summer, as I call them. You know, this is the point when everybody else is looking at you going, man, Paul's got the greatest job as the radio producer of this show. What could be better than what he's doing? And Paul's looking around going, yeah, it is the greatest job. It was just exactly what I wanted to do, but I've been doing it for a while now, and isn't there something else? You know, and we're looking at it and going, you got everything you wanted, you know? And the dog days of summer, the doldrums are sitting in there, and he's looking at it feeling a little trapped in this success, you know? I want something new. And, you know, in the personal life, sometimes this leads to dramatic changes in family structures. Sometimes it's because of what's going on with the individuals in the family. Sometimes it's because of this sort of frustration at work when everything appears to be going great and it's being taken out on the partner at home and creates some of those problems. So a whole different cycle, a whole different attitude, a whole different perspective for both the client, and requires different kind of coaching questions. So what we're looking at there is, you know, we're frequently looking at what's the exit strategy? How are you going to get out of this? How do you get out without just abandoning it and going bohemian? You know, what, and when you get out, what is it that you're looking for? What is it you're getting out for? So that's kind of the coaching questions, you know, it also frequently ends up with, I'm sorry, I was distracted there for a minute. Okay. What we frequently end up talking about in this environment here is looking at new experiences. Looking at, once you've got this exit strategy, where do you want to go? What is it that would drive you? What would excite you all over again? And, you know, there can be a major transition where you just go from this to the cocooning sort of strategy. This is the sort of old-fashioned now idea that, oh, I've been successful in my career. It was everything I wanted it to be, and now I've reached retirement age, and I'm taking the pension, and I'm sitting home on the back porch watching the sun come up and go down. You know, that's a major transition. And for most of us, that isn't where we really want to go. So what you've got is a great coaching opportunity and a great opportunity to use a coach to make what might be called a mini transition, to start the cycle all over again. So you've been successful at this. What's the next challenge? You know, for me, I had a great business as a builder here in Orange County, building homes with a wonderful group of people, a great staff. We did lots of fun projects. It was a wonderful challenge. Some things came up in life and it was like, okay, let's relook at this. I think I'd like to be a coach. I think I'd like to do CEO peer groups. So it was what I would call a mini transition. I still stayed in business, but it was a matter of restructuring. Hey, I want to go from a company with a lot of people to I want to work with just a handful of people. Or you might be looking at that major transition where you're going into the cocoon phase where you're saying, hey, and this is Buford's going from success to significance, I want to drop out of the business world totally, or I want to drop out of the urban lifestyle we're living and move to the country, or I want to move from the country to the city. It's wherever you're making that big, big 180-degree switch in your life. And is there a need for coaching in that kind of phase? Well, absolutely, because now you're back into, you know, while it's not starting a new career, it's certainly starting a whole different structure for your life. And again, you know, it's sort of like the get ready phase. If you haven't identified where you're going, how in the world are you going to ever get there successfully? So it's identifying, are we packing for Hawaii or are we packing for Alaska? Once I know how to get ready. I can get the training, get the clothes, get the support, read the right guidebooks. I'm all ready to go for whichever place. I could be happy in either, but I need to know which it is. And many people that come to us for coaching are really unclear about what are they getting ready for in any of these phases. And that ends up being a major subject for our coaching, whether it's individual coaching or whether it's on the corporate side. So let's take a break for a commercial.
If you are a Southern California business owner or executive, this message is for you. For over 17 years, Doug Gefella has been coaching executives, helping them create and improve the effectiveness of teams and individual team members. What makes Doug's approach unique and successful is his fundamental approach. Doug looks at the coaching from the perspective of the client, not the coach. Doug has helped hundreds of companies and led over 1,000 planning meetings that have changed lives and the course of many successful firms throughout Southern California. If you're interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn about our executive coaching and team development. Critical Mass for Business is a professional executive coaching and team development company and is the fastest growing business advisory firm in Orange County.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plans and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. and learn more about our executive peer group.
Well, it sounds like you can go to criticalmassforbusiness.com and get almost anything you want. Not quite. Hey, let me just tell you, we've got an exciting guest that's going to be on the show in 3 weeks. I want to make you aware of it, August 4th, Liz Lewis. Liz is, this is interesting, she is both a HR professional for MB Corporation in Santa Ana. She is a certified life coach, and she has her own business working with small and medium-sized businesses in their HR issues and especially concentrating on workers' compensation issues. So we're going to have an exciting conversation with her on the 4th of August, and I'm really looking forward to it. Because of the summer schedule, we haven't been able to book as many HR professionals on the show as we'd like. So if you're listening and you're in the HR field, either as a provider of services or managing HR facilities, hey, give me an email buzz or give me a call on the phone and let's talk about it. I'd love to have you on the show and love to talk about what's going on in your sphere of influence. Well, let me do a quick recap. What we talked about today was we talked about notes, how to take better notes, why both the client and the coach should be taking notes for all the sessions, how to use them in between those sessions to really make the session more focused. And along with that, we fit in very nicely the technology discussion about what can you use to make those coaching sessions more comfortable for the client and the coach, whether it be phone coaching, one-on-one sessions, or moving to video conference or video chat coaching. I'm dying to use the new Facebook app to see how I can video chat on Facebook with my clients. And again, looking at apps, those of you who are writing apps out there for the coaching industry, shame on you. I haven't seen anybody writing an app yet from the client's perspective, and if you don't get on it quick, I'm going to have my own. So the gauntlet's laid down. You know, there's a common theme that you're going to find on this show in both our HR discussions and our coaching discussions, and that's really looking at it from the client or the employee's perspective. There's a lot of information, a lot of media out there talking to coaches and what they need to do and how they can do it better. But frankly, there's not enough information out there for clients, and I think that's where we're falling short in the industry. We need to work harder on educating potential clients as to what coaching can do for them and how to use it. You know, I feel like I'm sitting here with the world's greatest invention, but nobody knows about it. You know, I'm in a dark closet with the door shut, and it's a big, well-kept secret. My producer's waving at me. Internet radio may be the same thing in some ways. We've found that it's absolutely wonderful for us, but how many people know about it? You know, those of you listening do, but hey, we're what they call the early adapters. So let's have a big applause for all the early adapters out there. But that's what we need. We need more information from the client's perspective. That's what we try to provide here in our coaching, is not only to give you the results you're looking for in terms of becoming more productive as a team member or as a group, doing better in your career, but we're looking to also identify, really from your perspective, how can we best serve you and what can we change in the coaching model that works best for you. So that's what we're all about. That's the same thing that we're all about in our CEO peer groups. It's all about the client. The peer group meetings are broken down into different segments. Part of it's a little sharpening of the saw with current management tools, but the majority of it is all geared to what are your issues today and how can this group of 10 or 12 really talented executives with cumulatively hundreds of years of experience help you solve those problems. Hey, we've seen some really inspirational things. We had some wild meetings in June, and it's really been a challenge. We've got some exciting new members, just absolutely great businesses. Sherry Jeffries, a great corporate photographer here in Orange County, has shot. So can we say shot? I don't mean deadly, but has shot most of the major CEOs here in the county. We have another new member, Jenny Ross. Jenny owns the restaurant 118 Degrees over in the camp area, specializing in living. Not raw. I'm learning the difference here. Living foods. These two individuals, they are so passionate about what they do. You'd think you couldn't meet anybody that passionate. And along comes Tom Casey, who is Thrust Bicycles and has designed this phenomenal electric bicycle for commercial deliveries. Boy, you talk about wanting to go green. That's where it's all at. So, you know, there are so many opportunities out there and so many new ways of looking at things. If you're not participating with a group that exposes you to that kind of thinking, shame on you. Look at criticalmassforbusiness.com. We've got the solution. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our show today and the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to make better, more informed decisions. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, the coaching perspective, only on OCTalkRadio.net.